Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Just cranking it up here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're excited about our next guest. Chris Broussard is a Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1, working on the studio shows, First Things First, Undisputed, of course, with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and The Herd with Colin Cowherd. So he also has got a Fox Sports radio show called The Odd Couple with Rob Parker, which airs weeknights at 6 o'clock Central Time, Nashville time. So Chris Broussard joins us from FS1. Glad to have him with us. Chris, welcome to the show.
It's great to be on with you guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. We're hanging in there, and we've got our fingers crossed as we see these, you know, numbers every day. We're so, you know, craving competition. So just let's start off with a question. Where are you in terms of your mindset of how well the NBA is coming along with executing, getting everybody in the bubble and getting started down there?
Well, I think they're doing an excellent job. You know, considering the circumstances, I mean, it seems like they have a plan that is about as good as you could have in this situation. They've been understanding also of the players that don't want to play for whatever reason. They're giving the teams many options to add other players. So, and they've taken their time. You know, there was, when they initially announced that they would start games July 30th, there was a segment of people out there that felt like, why are you waiting so long? But I think as time has gone on, that you've seen that that was kind of wise, because several players have had it already, you know, and have it currently. It also gives you plenty of time to get your players in shape. It's a slow rollout where players are going to the facilities individually. Then they can start going in smaller groups. Then they can go as a full team and then practice, you know, like, they're taking the steps that, you know, seem to be wise in this situation. So if for some reason they're not able to play or even to finish a season, then you can't blame the NBA, because I do think that they have done just about everything they can to try to get this thing rolling.
Chris, we could take this in so many different directions, but I thought of one. I was just looking at some of the things that you've been discussing here recently, and I 100% agree with you. You know, of course, Penny Hardaway is sort of back in the spotlight now, coaching over at Memphis, and, you know, here we are in Nashville. You know, he was obviously a high school legend in Memphis. I was fortunate enough to play against him
right
when I was at Vanderbilt, and he was at Memphis State. But I agree.
How'd you do?
They beat us twice. I didn't do very well. Let's just say when I was in the game, Chris, we zoned. We went zone. There was no way that I was going to match up against him if there was any way around it. But man, what an amazing player! But I some of these old games that come on, the classics. You know, I'm always flipping through the channels and see if there's a game that grabs you. And there were some great games from his early Magic days, where, you know, he's been kind of a forgotten man for a while, because he kind of disappeared when the injuries hit. But he was at one time, on his way to some tremendous things.
Oh, I mean, Penny Hardaway, look, assuming he would have, you know, had he stayed healthy, I think it's safe for most of us to assume he would have been a Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, he was on that trajectory. He had been to the finals very early in his career. You know, obviously losing Shaq. And I talked to Shaq. I asked Shaq. Now, remember, Shaq played with Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, Steve Nash, LeBron James. And I asked Shaq, of all the guys you played with, who would, you know, if you could go back, like, which guy would you play, you stick with, that you stayed with? And he said Penny. And they were a tremendous team together because, obviously, Penny was a great passer. And they could have been, like, a turbo version of a Magic and Kareem. Even maybe, it's crazy to say better, but the fact that they were both roughly the same age and they would have been in their primes together, whereas Kareem obviously was much older than Magic. So and Penny was outstanding. And I think, because you mentioned he kind of was a forgotten man after he got hurt, I think that a big part of it, too, is that after he came back from the knee injuries, he played many years. You know, he played darn near, you know, what, 7-8 seasons after the knee injury, and he wasn't the same. And a lot of times people remember him as that player who was pretty good, but not obviously not a star anymore. And that can eat you, that can hurt you more than if you just, you're outstanding, then you get hurt and you can't play anymore. Then people will remember, oh, but he was awesome back in the day before he got hurt. But now they kind of remember all these other years where he was just a pretty good player. I think Vince Carter, I was debating, you mentioned my show, The Odd Couple. Rob Parker and I were debating about this. Is Vince Carter a Hall of Famer? And I said yes, and Rob was saying no. And most of our callers said no. And I think a big part of it is Vince Carter played 22 seasons. And he was a superstar for like 11 seasons. And then after that, he kind of started going down and down and down. And there's a whole group of people now that remember him just as this role player or this guy that came off the bench and shot three. So that can often hurt you when people – I think Derrick Rose will fall victim to the same thing. Grant Hill fell victim to the same thing. And so I think that's part of why people don't really understand how great Penny was.
We're talking to Chris Broussard of FS1, and I want to ask you about a documentary that you were a part of, Backstory, about the LeBron James decision, and you know, it was a great documentary, but I still always think in the back of my mind that what if, and we played that an hour ago, of what if LeBron would have signed with the Knicks instead of signing to the Miami Heat, and how that would have turned out. Obviously, it didn't because, you know, James Dolan doesn't know how to handle meetings correctly. But LeBron made his decision and went to Miami. But what would that decision been like if he did go to the Knicks?
Oh, wow. Well, look, they obviously would have been a contender. Because everywhere LeBron goes, they are a contender. The question of whether or not they would have won championships really depends on who else they would have been able to get there. And we've seen LeBron recruit, and sometimes he's been successful. Sometimes he hasn't been able to get guys with him. So it would have been a renaissance in New York basketball. They would have been one of the top couple of teams, a few teams in the league. They would have made finals, I believe. But would they have won championships? That's the question. And again, that's probably based on what would have been around him. And here's another thing is this. If he had gone to New York, I don't think Kevin Durant would have went to Golden State. And so that would have opened up other opportunities for LeBron to win. Because I really don't think Durant would have considered. I don't even think, honestly, it would have even crossed his mind to go to Golden State if LeBron had not first gone to Miami. Because in principle, the moves were very similar. Durant's was different, you know, more, that team was set. There was no question, you know, he was joining the championship team already that had won 73 games. But still, LeBron was going to a team that was stacked, that was going to be the most talented team in the league. And so with him doing that, I think that's when the seed was planted in other players that, man, I can do that? You know, really? I could actually do that? And so I don't think Draymond Green would have thought about calling Durant and saying, hey, man, you need to come play with us, because it just, I just don't think it was entering players' minds to team up like that with super teams. And so really, whether or not the Knicks would have won a championship, the whole last, 10 years of basketball would have been different, very different, had LeBron gone to the Knicks, stayed in Cleveland, or gone to another team where it would not have been this super team. It would have just been him trying to win a championship with whatever pieces they have.
Yeah, and I want to go back to LeBron's influence after this, but this is kind of what I threw out there with the Knicks, because obviously, LeBron James thing didn't happen, so they kind of went for that sign-and-trade deal with Amari Stoudemire, and then later on in that season, they traded for Carmelo Anthony and Chauncey Billups. So I'm thinking, could you make a big three with – you sign LeBron James for the same amount of money he went to the Heat. Amari Stoudemire, I think his deal was $99 million, which is a little less than what Chris Bosh was making. And then Melo at the time was still making around that $18, $19 million range. So I'm thinking if you can put those three together alongside Chauncey Billups, would that have been enough for them to get over the hump in that first NBA Finals? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's asking a lot, first of all, because, who knows how – I don't remember exactly how the money would have worked out, because remember how many pieces they had to give up.
Yeah, absolutely. Wilson Chandler, Gallinari.
Well, I don't recall if they would have even been able to put all three of those players, four of those players with Billups together. But hypothetically speaking, I mean, yeah, that would have been the championship team. LeBron and Melo would have been great together, because Melo, I think LeBron would have just been able to feed him, and Melo would have been that, could have been the closer. He could have been like the Kyrie, really, to LeBron, doing what he does. Amari, who was tremendous early on in his tenure in New York, and then kind of faded as injury kind of took away some of his game. And then Chauncey was a great leader. Now, Chauncey, it would have been interesting how they would have played, because Chauncey obviously was a guy with the ball in his hands as a point guard. So that would have been an adjustment. But Chauncey also was a guy that was a great shooter. So I think it would have worked out. And he was a leader as well. So, yeah, there, if they could have gotten a foursome like that together again, huge if. Then, yeah, I think they would have won championships.
Yeah, at this point, Chris, we're playing hypotheticals all through the radio and all through TV, because that's all we got at this point. So,
I'd say that's what we have.
That's pretty much all we have. So that's why I threw it out there, because
right.
I looked at that Heat roster and I looked at it as, okay, so you had Wade, you had LeBron, and you had Bosh, and then their fourth best option was Mike Bibby at that point. And so I'm thinking, okay, Mike Bibby a better option, or who's a better option, Billups or Bibby? And I went with, Billups. And then who's a better option between Bosh and Amari Stoudemire? And obviously a healthy Amari Stoudemire in his prime was, a beast. And then I looked at Wade and Melo, and I'm like, well, Wade's a better all-around player, but Melo is one of the most underrated scorers in the league. So that's kind of how I came up with that hypothetical.
Well, Melo would have fit better with LeBron, because Wade and LeBron, defensively, they were a great fit, obviously. Offensively, though, it was tough, because their games were similar, their styles of play. Wade had the ball in his hands a lot, too. And so when they started winning championships that second year on, Wade had to back up and say, okay, look, I'm going to give up, sacrifice some of my game offensively so we can run through LeBron and he can be his best, and then we can be, win championships. So Melo would not have had to do that as much, because, again, he could be more of a guy that could catch and shoot, and things like that. So I think those two they probably would have fit together better. They wouldn't have been as good defensively, but offensively, they probably would have fit together better than Wade and LeBron.
Yeah, and before I toss it to Chase, I do want to talk about LeBron's influence on, because we see now, especially even with college athletes, a lot of players now speaking out, having their own voices, and obviously the decision was the start of it. I kind of consider the decision like a sacrifice for LeBron James, because it made him realize that some of the people around in my camp maybe is not for my best interest, and that's when Rich Paul steps in, that's when Maverick Carter steps in, and then they built this huge, media entity where they give players an opportunity to have their own voices. So just talk about LeBron's influence in, you know, just having giving athletes a voice, giving athletes that platform to kind of speak for themselves rather than, you know, let other people speak for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, what LeBron has done has been tremendous as far as the impact that he's had on the league, on sports as a whole, off the court, and what players are doing. You see more – I mean, Kevin Durant, you look at the great things he's doing with his boardroom show and you know, Silicon Valley and things like that. He's basically following in LeBron's footsteps. Even – you know, I mentioned how he went to Golden State, which I thought was following in LeBron's footsteps. But even with the stuff he's doing off the court, business-wise, very similar. And other players are doing, you know, Steph Curry has, you know, a media company, and Kyrie Irving is putting one together. Like, a lot of these guys are seeing the possibilities and how they can use their celebrity and their wealth that they gain as players to really do a lot of other things they want to do outside of basketball, but also that create jobs for people and give voices to people. You know, now LeBron is, you know, on uninterrupted with athletes, but just he and Maverick Carter just started a media company where they're going to be showing, you know, creating content from, you know, minority communities that really haven't had a voice or as much of a voice as they should have in the past. So I think it's tremendous, his impact. And you said it, like, the social issues as well. I would say it started back in, I believe it was 2012, when he and his Miami Heat teammates wore the hoodies with the Trayvon Martin situation. And that is what really kind of began the current athletes speaking out on social issues. Because to that point, they really hadn't, you know, for a long time, athletes had not really spoken out. And so now, as you said, you see it in football, in baseball, in basketball, in college sports. So LeBron definitely does deserve a lot of credit for kind of sparking that. And I think some other athletes have even taken it. Some of these college athletes, I mean, they're putting real sacrifice into this because they don't have the multi-million dollar contracts. They don't have the endorsement dollars that some of these pro athletes have. Many of them won't even make it to the pros, and yet they're still taking stands when their college scholarship could be taken away. And so a lot of these guys have really taken it to a high level, and LeBron was definitely the recent start of all of this.
Chris Broussard from FS1 is here with us, and along those lines, I believe that we have seen, too, just players in general, whether it's collegiate players or professional players, through all of this, whether it's COVID-19 or Black Lives Matter, anything going on in our country, I feel like that they are all realizing what we all have in the media for a long time of just how big their voice is. And I think this can be a very good thing for society if they continue to use it like we've heard lately.
Man, I've said it for years that, and this isn't, you know, I don't think this is the way it should be, but this is the way it is. Black athletes, I believe, have more power to make change in this society than any other group of African Americans, including politicians. And I really mean that from the bottom of my heart, because their wealth, their connections to corporate America through endorsements, or just people in corporate America wanting to, you know, be in their life and get to know them and things like that. Their influence within society and the fact that they're irreplaceable. LeBron James is irreplaceable. If LeBron James had done what Colin Kaepernick did, he wouldn't be out of the league. You know, it would have become a trend. Like, Colin Kaepernick, I actually thought showed Colin was more courageous than a lot of people even gave him credit for, because when he started kneeling, he was expendable. Like, the 49ers could have cut him that season when he started kneeling, and nobody really would have thought twice about it because he was a backup. He wasn't a star anymore. But had, you know, a star, Russell Wilson, a Patrick Mahomes, a LeBron, somebody like that. If they did that, they are not out of the league for a week, for a day. The league would figure out how to work around it. And that's the power that they have. I'll take it a step further. I've said it for the longest. If the African-American players in the NFL, just them, but if white players joined in too, great. But if they decide, if they said to the league, we're not playing until Colin Kaepernick's on the roster. He deserves to be on the roster, clearly. We see some of these other guys, Nathan Peterman, so on and so forth, who are on rosters that are not better than Kaepernick. He should be on the roster. We're not playing until that happens. I don't think they miss a game. A team would sign him, period. And that's the type of power that they have. Remember a few years ago in 2015, I believe it was, when the athletes from the University of Missouri, the president and the chancellor, the students have been trying to get them to react to different racial things that had gone on campus, and they weren't doing it. They had been trying for weeks, if not months. The football players say, we're not playing until this is dealt with. Within 3 days, the president and chancellor were gone. That, and these are college athletes at Missouri, which is not a football powerhouse. That's the power that they have. And look, I even look at, and I said this on the radio last week, you look at the name Redskins, and I'm not Native American. I don't know all the history. I don't know what is and isn't offensive, but I do know that the leaders of Native Americans say it's offensive. They say it's a racial slur. The dictionary says it's a racial slur. And so I said, I think the black athletes should say they're not playing for the Redskins until that name is changed. I bet you they wouldn't miss a game. I bet you they wouldn't miss a week of practice. That's the power that they have. And I would say, as we're talking about Black Lives Matter and all of that, if we really are moving away from racism and trying to get past racism, it's not just black who've suffered. It's also Native Americans in this country. And they don't have the numbers or the power that we have in society. And so if we're really moving ahead, you know, we're getting rid of Aunt Jemima and, you know, Uncle Ben and all these Confederate statues, let's get rid of the Redskins names and any of the other ones that are offensive to Native Americans as well, even though they're not black, but we're pulling down racism and they're victims of that as well.
Boy, Chris, you have given us a lot to discuss. Tremendous conversation. Thank you so much for your time today, and best of luck with all of your projects at FS1. And we'll keep our fingers crossed in the short term as well that we can start seeing some round ball here very soon.
Right. All right, guys. I enjoyed it. Anytime you need me, let me know.
Awesome. Chris Broussard from SF1. FS1, Fox Sports NBA analyst. For
SF1, FS1, you know.
Yeah, but. I mean, I guess, you know, what is SF1? Is there Super Friend? Is that like the first Super Friend? Would that be Batman?
Yes.
Or Superman, one of the Super Friends?
That's what we're
They did have a logo with SF on there when I was growing up on the Saturday morning cartoons, SF. But first things first, Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. You hear him on The Herd. I mean, he is a compelling figure, Chris Broussard. Great to get a chance to pick his brain there. We got a lot to sort out. A lot of different ways we can go. I've got a couple of things that I want to hit on when we come back in the wake of that. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.